Yud Beis Kislev, Thursday the 8th of December, Rabbi Benji Morgan, Ma'aseh Kesofim, what's the chiyuv?
Good morning, everybody. But when it comes to Ma'aseh Kesofim, there's a lot of discussion. I remember actually when I was in yeshiva, we were earning some money, because we were doing tutoring at the time. There was a lot of discussion about whether you give Ma'aseh Kesofim, on what you give Ma'aseh Kesofim. The yeshiva bachrim had to give ma'aseh kesafim. And I remember a story going around at the time that Rav Chaim Kanievsky gave a very interesting psak. There was a younger man in Eretz Yisrael. He finally came to the time when he was making chasna. He saved up $20,000. And the minhag in Eretz Yisrael is they actually bring the cash to the chasna. Don't ask me why, but that's the minhag. So he brought the money to the chasna, he was dancing, and somehow, amongst the whole tumult of the chasna, the money got lost, disappeared. So in the middle of the dance hall, there's this bang, and he's fainted, and the money went, disappeared. So they went on with the chasna, and again, a bit later, he faints again, really upset. By the end of the chasna, someone came running in and said that they thought they found it. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky happened to be there, and he had a word with the guy before they told him, and he realized that this person had been totally miyash from the money. So he gave a psak that this person could get $18,000 back, but not the full $20,000. But he said, this now is money that you've been miyash from. If the person wants to give you the money back, that's fine. But already now, it's a gift. So if the person wants to give it to you, then even though officially it's your money, you have to take it back. And the story goes that he then fainted again. Yes, a thousand was the maaser. He had to take maaser from that which he'd already given back, because he'd be miyash from it. This is now a gift. So someone wants to give you a gift, he can give you a gift, but then you have to take $2,000. No, he doesn't deduct it. What you're saying was, you're only going to get $18,000 back from this.
He had to.
Yeah, but then he told us he was...
But he had to give Mars on it.
Yeah, then he told us that he was giving it for his own Achnosis Kala. Anyway, so it was a big discussion. But it's interesting how these things can come out. But before we discuss Ma'aseh Kesofim, because there are many shilas that come up in Ma'aseh Kesofim. For example, does one take Ma'aseh from inheritance? Does one take Ma'aseh from gifts? Does one take Ma'aseh before tax, before income tax, after income tax? What taxes can be included, what can't be? There's a lot of discussion. Before we get to that and discuss some of the shilas, we have to know what the makor of giving Ma'aseh b'chlal is. And before we even discuss what the makor of giving Ma'aseh is, we have to discuss the makor of what it means to give tzedakah. So just in brief, although this is not a shi'on on giving tzedakah, it's worthwhile for us to know that we learn the chiyuv of giving tzedakah from a pasuk here in Devarim. And the pasuk says very clearly that we have a chiyuv of nosein titin. We have a chiyuv to give tzedakah. For we learn that from nosein titin. And the chiyuv to give is every year it has a chiyuv to give tzedakah. One of the very interesting things is that the shiur of tzedakah that's mentioned in the Torah is dei machsoyri ashiyach sarloi. That we have a chiyuv to give each and every individual the amount that it would be that he's lacking in order to live his regular life. So for example, if someone lives on a standard, was living on a standard before the recession, he had a little Nissan Micra and a flat on the 10th floor somewhere. Now he's got nothing. You have to buy him, the mitzvah stock is to buy him a little Nissan Micra and a flat on the 10th floor. Someone who was driving a Bentley and lived in the suburb, the chiyuv tzedakah is to give him dei machsoyri ashayech sarloi. That's the shiur that's given in the Torah. But there is a clause. There is one clause. And that clause is, efes, but, ki lo yiyeh v'cha evyeh. In as much as you have a chiyuv to give tzedakah, make sure that there is no other poor people. What does it mean, make sure there's no other poor people because of your nesina? It means make sure you don't make yourself poor because you're providing for that guy's Bentley, right? So in as much as there's a chiyuv to give tzedakah to provide for someone else, there's a clause. Efes, ki lo yiyeh v'cha evyeh. That's the mitzvah tzedakah that's brought down. Then there's a whole shayla about whether you should be mevazvez, yesu mechemesh, if you can give more than 20%, which is where the whole 20% thing comes from. There's a machloikas about that. But that is all with regards to the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. What about maisa? We've all heard of the mitzvah of maisa ksofim. So in the Torah, there's trumas, there's maisras, there's maisa ani, and all these types of things. But it doesn't mention anywhere in the Torah maisa kasafim. Someone does a business transaction, he gains money. Where does that come in? What's the makor for this? Is there a makor? Is it a chiyuv deraisa? Is it a chiyuv drabbanon? Is it a minhag? So we start off with the first time that we come across something like this is in the Sifri. We don't actually have this Sifri. The Sifri is brought in Tosfos and Tainus Daf Tes, the Ramban called Aser to Aser. And he brings that there's a chiyuv to give maisa, and we learn it from es kol tevu oscha. The Sifri says that it could have said es tevu oscha. What's es kol tevu oscha? L'rabois prakmatia v'chol dovor shemar viach boi. Anything that we gain, we learn mamash from a chiyuv from the Torah, it seems. Tosfos is bringing this Sifri that there's a chiyuv. As cult of Oschal, the rabbi is pragmatia, someone's on the trading floor, he has a chiyuv the same way the guy who's sowing in the field. There's no difference. What's interesting, like I mentioned, is that this Sifri is not a Sifri that we have. But still, all the same, the Sifri is brought down by Tosfos there in Tainus. So the Medrash Tanchuma brings a very interesting thing, which needs to be explained, because if this is the makur that we take Maiseh, is from the Sifri, as cult of Oschal, surely, you would be allowed to give it to the same places wherever Eskol to Oslo is talking about, which was Aniyim. But he doesn't say that. The Sifri he brings, that there's a chiyuv to give to Lahafrish Echad Min Asara La'amele Torah. To give one in tenth to Amelim Batorah. So it's interesting where this Medrash Tanchuma, it's in Re'im, Perikit Ches. Where does he get this from, that the chiyuv to give maisa, if you're learning from Eskol to Oscha, then surely that would include whatever Eskol to Oscha is talking about. So where would you get the makor from to learn that it would be for Amelim Batorah Bilvad? It's very interesting. The Motchen Baba Kama, Sivan Kuf Tzadi Beis, he brings a Yerushalmi on Maisa Kesafim, which we'll see later is brought down by the Poskim. And the Motchen dams it, mamash like a chiyuv deraisa, until he starts having a shayla about you have a sofek deraisa over here, and if you've got two people, what do we do? And it seems that although we don't have the Sifri, the Yerushalmi he brings down we do have, and the Yerushalmi seems to be mashma that there's mamash a chiyuv, and the chiyuv we learn it is from kavidas Hashem mehincha, meirishis kol tvoscha, that there's a chiyuv to give maisa ksofim. Another makor which is brought down, which is very interesting, is that we know by Yaakov Avinu in one of the parashas here in Bereishis, I think it's in Perek Chav Ches Pasuk Chav Beis, he says V'chol Asher Titen Li Aser Asher Anulach. In Parashat Yitzhe, yeah. So he says V'chol Asher Titen Li Aser Asher Anulach. So the Pashtus you learn the Pesukim to mean that Yaakov Avinu said anything that Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives me, I'll give myself. Since Das came, Bali Tisvas, everything that Yaakov Avinu said to Rishon in his lifetime is brought down in the Torah? No. Says Das came, that this is the makur that Yaakov is actually masakin the Dairus, the V'choil Asher Titin Li, all the Bnei Yaakov, Aser Aserenu, that we actually have a chiyuv that Yaakov was masakin. Yaakov was masakin Mariv. So the same thing, Yaakov was masakin that the Dairus would give a Maisik Sofim. And you can see that it's my Sikhsofim, because over there he wasn't talking about Dafka, the things which he grew. He was talking about to give me Beged Lilbush. He was talking about things that he would be given. Al Kaponim, even though we've seen all these Makaris that seem to be, we've got the Sifri, we've got the Yerushalmi, we've got the Das Kenim, but in the Gemara in Talmud Bavli, it's not mentioned one time that there's a Chiyuv of my Sikhsofim. In fact, in the Gemara Baba Basra, Daf Tes, it seems to be mashma that there's mamash no chiyuv to give my sukkasim. Why? Because the Gemara over there is discussing what's the minimum shiur of tzedakah that a yid needs to give. What's the minimum amount that you would say, okay, now you've been mekayim your mitzvah tzedakah of losing titi. So the Gemara says that a shlishis hashekel l'shana is a chiyuv that every single yid needs to give. So the question is, surely the minimum according to the Yerushalmi, the minimum according to the Sifri, is a tenth of all your earnings, a tenth of all your income. So the truth is, I was telling this to one of my chareis yesterday, he said, no, maybe the pshat is that it's saying to an Oni who wouldn't even have reached the Shlishis HaShekel Hashana, maybe for him. But if you look at the Gemara, it doesn't say that La'aniyim, there's a Shlishis HaShekel Hashana. It Mamash says that the minimum amount is not mavchin between an Oni or a Ashir, and it seems to be Mashba, but Mamash, the minimum Shir for every single year is Shlishis HaShekel Hashana. And there's no minimum chiyuv of Yaakov Avinu was taking, or what Yerushalmi brings, or what's called Rafa. The Gemara is mamash not mashba like that at all. In fact, it seems to be that that's how the Bach learns that Gemara, because the Bach in Yerushalmi is Simon Shin Lamed Aleph, the Rascal Masha Kosav. The Bach says that a Maisa, there's no chiyuv de Raisa or de Rabbonon to give Maisa Ksafim. There's no chiyuv de Raisa or Rabbonon at all. And the Tanz over there in Simon Shin Lamed Aleph, Sikot Lamed Beis, so Imamish argues full on, and he brings this Yerushalmi. But he says, Faket, we learn this as a deraisa, so there's Mamish a chiyuv to give, and he doesn't understand where the Bach is coming from. On the other hand, it seems to be that in the Gemara in Talmud Bavli, it would seem to imply that there's Bichlal no chiyuv at all. So what's going on over here? So the consensus really of Roiv of the Poskim throughout the Deiris, if you look at the Shai Shuvas of the Yavis, the Chavis Yer, the Shuvas Yaakov, they all seem to say that be'etzem, that which is brought in the Yerushalmi, and that which is brought in the Sifri, it's all asmachtas bilvad. It's all asmachta, yes, it's something that we can learn from the Torah, we can see there's a hint for such a thing, but it was only a minhag. There's no chiyuv drabonon, and the Klal Yisrael took this on, and in fact the Yadid says that really it's something that every Yid should have done. But when you have tevuah and it grows, there was something which the Torah says, you have tevuah, it grows, there's something sort of easy about taking a corner of your field and giving it to Aniyim. When someone goes on a trading floor and he makes some money and he does a business deal and he does a handshake, Chazal understood that Kesef Yayin Sakil is too hard to tell Klal Yisrael that they have a chiyuv to be able to take money. Because so there's something much harder about departing with money than departing with possessions. And therefore, Chazal won't mechayev you, but Yisrael Kadeshim Haim, they were machmir on themselves, and they took it on as a minhag. Now, the fact that it's a minhag could become a chiyuv, because we'll learn controversy on minhag today, but that the fact that it's a minhag is actually something that could become a chiyuv. But it's the maisa, a minhag. It's not something which is a deraisa or drabbonon. It's a minhag ashkenaz that they were machmir themselves and they understood. And the truth is that they based it on maisa ani. This minhag that came out through the deiros was based on Maisa Ani, which is going to have ramifications in the halacha. For example, if you say Eskol Tu Oscha, or if you learn it from Kabbalah Hashem Mehoincha, for example, then you should give charity Mehoincha. What? You want to give Hatzalah, you want to give Shomrim, you want to give to any worthy cause, Mehoincha, you can give. But if it's a Mekor from Maisa Aniim, if you learn it from Eskol Tu Oscha, or you're learning it from a minhag which was based on Maisa Ani, then surely it should come out that the entire minhag or the entire limud would only be to tzedakah fa'aniyim. And even though we're going to see there's actually a machlokas with regards to this, I have to say that it seems very clear in all the poskim that the ideal tzedakah that's given from Maisa is to aniyim. But we'll have to see whether there's any makor that you're allowed to not do that at all. So the Maaseh of the Ram Rotterberg in Simukuf and Avdala from the Marin and Hilchus Rosh Hashanah over there in Divra Maaseh and Noisim and Maaseh Shalayim seem to say very clearly that Maaseh Ksafim cannot be given to any other cause except to Aniyim. So if someone wants to give to a school, someone wants to give to people who are in hospitals, someone wants to give any of these worthy causes, yes, you can give them, but you can't take it off his Maaseh Cheshbon. And in Ramah, in Yerideus Ibn Rishram Tes, Sif Aleph, says that you should not use any Mois Maisa for mitzvahs like Neiros in a shul, rather Yitnenu La'aniyim Bilvad. The Ramah seems to say you shouldn't use it for any mitzvahs at all except to give it to Aniyim. And the Shachar then, Sifkot and Gimel, says it can't be that this is what the Ramah is saying, because Faket was only a minhag, and you can decide what you want to do it for. And the Gaon of Berak Gola over there in Oishei says that the Pshat in the Ramah is not that you're not allowed to use your Maisa money for anything else at all. He explains that what the mitzvahs that he's talking about are the mitzvahs which you have a chiyuv to give anyway. The mitzvahs which you have a chiyuv to buy, for example, practical example of this would be someone has a mitzvah to shake a lulav and esrog, to buy matzah. You can't use your maaser money for that. But it would actually go even further. For example, there's certain chiyuvim on a tzibur. A person lives in the town, he has a chiyuv to help build a mikvah. If it would be, let's say, for example, because of the chiyuv, which is mutla on a tzibur, even though it's a mitzvah, and even if there's no something that, hey, you know, I didn't have to do this. No, this is a mitzvah chiyuvis. This is something you had to do with your money. This is a kehillah tax. And something which is a kehillah tax, you won't be allowed to use maaser money for. But for example, says the Shach, if someone needs to support his children, and they're not soimchin al shulchanoi, and it's something which it's a mitzvah to do, and they are aniyim, or for example, hachnosas kala, or any mitzvah which you wouldn't otherwise have to do, of course you're allowed to give that. There's no difference between that and any other of the mitzvahs. The only difference where the Shach and the Beragel have drawn the line is with regards to whether you're doing a mitzvah chiyuvis, or a mitzvah which you're taking on as a voluntary act. And that's where they're saying that that's even the pshat in the Ramah. That the examples the Ramah gave were only because he was giving something which was a mitzvah chiyuvis. It's very interesting, Shaila, though, that if this is a minhag, is this a minhag that the minhag is keveah for me, or can I be keveah the minhag for myself? For example, there's two minhagim with Siris Ha'omer. There's times when we go, there's minhagim with whether we wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So is this something which we say, no, faket, this is a minhag, everyone needs to do it, or can you be keveah the minhag for yourself? So the Chasam Sefer says, when it comes to the actual minhag of taking Maisa, you have no right whether to be keveah, there's a minhag which will makabel, and you have to take on. This Chasam Sefer is in Yerodea, similar to Shlam Adalef. But what he does say is like this, the minhag that's mechayev us to take Maisa only goes as far as to say that you take 10% of your earnings and give it to charity. But whether you're going to take on the minhag that they would base this minhag on ani, or whether you want to take on stam kabbalas Hashem ha'incha, that you can give it to anyone, for that there is a difference. For that you can take on the minhag for yourself. And faket, what it takes on is actually a din of nidrei tzedakah or any neda. So if someone decided, didn't know about this, he didn't come until he came to the Torah Weishia, he thought, oh, you have to give it to aniyim. And now he says, oh, you know, I can give my mice money somewhere else. He'd have to be made for neda. But if it goes the other way around, where he didn't know that Ani was the better Maisani, because that was the minhag, and he's been giving everywhere, and now he decides to give it to Maisani, that's the seder. Al kolponim, according to the Chasam Sefer, a person who mamish is allowed to decide for himself, not whether to take on the minhag or not, but he'd be allowed to decide for himself whether he wants to take the minhag that is based on Maisani. And the chere is coming from, because we saw that there's Yerushalmi, there's a Sifri, there's very clear Makaris, that it's not only for Maisa Ani alone, and it could be for everyone. So for that reason, there's very much of a reason, a basis to say, that even if you have a chiev to give Maisa Ani, you can decide whether to take it on, even if you have a chiev to take Maisa Ksofim, you can decide whether you're going to base it on Maisa Ani or not. So the shaila is, what happens when someone, let's say, has stocks and shares, someone's got an investment portfolio, someone's got a shop, sometimes he makes losses, sometimes he makes profits. I've got a friend in Eretz Yisrael who he supported himself by trading foreign exchange. Only I think about 10% of people who trade that actually make any money, but I don't think maybe that was the reason why he came up with the shaila, because I don't think he ever made anything. But the shaila is, it's one of these businesses where in a day you can make £1,000, and usually what happens is the next day you lose £2,000. So the shaila is, do you take that when he made that £1,000, he starts off with £10, first day he makes £1,000, does he take £100 to give it to the stocker? Or does he say, you know what, damn, I made £1,000, but the chances are tomorrow it's going to go completely the other way, and I'm going to lose two, so I'm going to wait. Or if he, even let's say he's allowed to wait, how long are you allowed to wait until you consider, okay, fine, this is actually a year of profit, or a term of profit? What is that? So it's very interesting. The Beis Lechem Yehuda in Siman Reish Mem Tes, from Maskel Ve'Inasis, says that if a person trades, for example, Forex, or any shares, stock shares, commodities, whatever, the person never makes a cheshbon that today I made this, or today I lost that. It's because, like, he's never paying tax, for example, and he's not making a clear cheshbon of what his profits and losses are. He makes the money, he goes and spends it, he loses it, he doesn't eat much that day. Such a person can't be menakeh his hefseidim k'neged his eitzos. He can't say, you know what, today I made £1,000, but tomorrow I lost, or yesterday I lost £2,000, today I made £1,000. Doesn't work like that. As long as you're not making a clear cheshbon, if you make £1,000, you take £100, you lose, there's nothing that you can do about it. But he says that the kviyus man is tailor on each and every individual. So for example, someone who, in America, the end of the tax year is the end of December. Here, it's around April. So in such a case, someone who's made the cheshbon of what his profits are for that year, if you're in America, it could be at December. If you're in England, it could be in April. And if a person is the type of person that makes it at the end of every week, then he could be menakeh his hefsedim, connected what he's made, at the end of every week, or every month, or every quarter, whatever it would be. But as soon, says Beis Lachmida, as soon as you've actually made that cheshbon, and you've taken the maisa, you can't, even if a person has a tremendous loss the next week, you can't say, oh, well, I'm going to keep that on the Maisa Cheshbon for next time. Once the book is closed, once the term is closed, that's it. So in that case, many people might say, maybe it's worth it to wait indefinitely for as long as possible. So the Pisei Tshuva over there says, how long, he has this question, how long can a person wait? That means, yes, we've got this idea now that as soon as we've closed the book, you can wait. How long can you wait for? Can you do it for over a 10-year period, 20-year period, not take Maisa for a long time, because you never know when your next loss is going to be? Yeah, business is going well now, but who knows what's going to be tomorrow? So Pisei Tshuva says that from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah is the absolute maximum that you can keep this book open of profit versus loss. And the Pashat chat is that we know there was a Yosef Shaladon Ksuvinoi from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. And what happened last Rosh Hashanah has got no shaykhs for the next year Rosh Hashanah. So the fact that you lost this year or made this year has no shaykhs. You made a profit last year, take Maisa. This year's a tough year, fine. So you won't take. You never made anything. But you can't go further than Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. I remember when I got married, and every couple has this shayla, is do you take Maisa from money which has already been Maisa? Right? Because when you're talking about a business deal, the money hasn't been mised, right? But when you talk about someone who's taken £20, he's just made that money and he gives it to you, right? And then that guy gives it to someone else, in the end you'll end up with nothing. Do you take mised from money which has already been mised? Or do you say, no, this money is already mu'usud, right? So the Pisei Tshuva over there says that faket, it's managed the consensus of all the poskim, that gifts and inheritance and even money which has already been mised, you still take Maisa. Why? Because the whole minhag here is, anything which is I marviyah, which I didn't have until now, I take Maisa from. As a reminder that, you know what, it's not all about me. So in that case, it doesn't make a difference that someone else has already taken Maisa. Maisa is not for the individual who's taken it. It's not like on payers, you take a Maisa, so these payers are already Musa. Maisa is on the revach that comes to each and every individual. And therefore, even when someone gets a gift for a chasna, or gifts of inheritance, he would have to take Maisa. Again, this is Maisa Kesafim. You'd have to ask a Shaila whether this would go into a different shira, whether what about if someone's been given a gift as a laptop? Or someone gets a car as a gift, does he take Maisa from the car? But this is regards to something which is mamash marviach, on that it could be very different. But in terms of the gifts that you get as a chasna gift, in terms of cash, that on that all the places can seem to say that it's different.
When you get the support for a
So that would go to Luchir into the Shaila. If someone gets support from a Shver, that goes into the Shaila of whether an Oni takes Maisa. Because usually the person who's taking support from a Shver, without that would have nothing. So now the shayla is whether he gets. In fact, Rav Meshua in Brisk used to say to people who he would give a malaga to, he would say to them, if you're going to take Maisa, I'll just keep it for myself, because if you're going to give it to Yana Oni, I'm only giving this to you because you're an Oni yourself. So give it back to me and I'll give it to someone else. So there's a chiyuv of Nosin Titin, but that's what we said at the beginning of the shiur. The chiyuv of Nosin Titin has no shayla to the chiyuv of giving Maisa. Every person needs to give money. The shayla is now a chiyuv of giving Maisa. So what he's asking is, someone who's on support, should he give Maisa? The chayra, the heat goes into the din of what an Oni has to give Maisa, whether an Oni has to give Maisa. Because he's only taking the support, hopefully, because he otherwise wouldn't have what to live off.
From if you learn from Maisa, it's called to Lazarecho. There the chiyuv is on the chefza, not on the person.
Right.
Yes,
it's very interesting.
That's
the makar. Right. If that Lefera, as kol if someone has tavua, then it's
Once you've taken it, you've taken it.
There seems to be the poskim saying, this is a sifri. that we don't have. So even those that learn that we learn it, it seems from the Yerushalmi of Kaddish Shem HaHincha, and no one seems to learn it from that Sifri, because Maisa, we don't have that Sifri in front of us in print. So all the places throughout the day, even when they do quote it, we saw the Shach, never they quote the Yerushalmi, but no one really quotes that Sifri. Tosfos brings the Sifri, but Elochanami, that affair would be absurd to say that you don't have to.
But I miss what you said about giving Maisa and giving Tzedakah.
Yeah, because the Chi of Tzedakah is on every individual Midday Raisa, you have a Chi of Nosin Titin.
So somebody has money that they earn from their owners, they give a certain percentage. That is Tzedakah, isn't it?
That is tzedakah for sure. The question is, how much do you have to give? If you're earning £50 million, do you need to give demach soiri to ani? Do you need to give a shlishis hashekel? Do you need to give 10%, or do you need to give more? The chiyuv of demach soiri could be much more than 10%. Right? If someone's earning a lot of money, and people which mamash anim in his town that don't have mamash what to live off, he might have a chiyuv to give the whole town up to what amount? Then we've got the Ramah which says, which is where this minhag comes not to give more than 20%. Right? But the shayla over here is that tzedakah and maisa are completely different things. And the curve of tzedakah is a chiyuv deraisa. And what we're coming out from Rav Poskim is the chiyuv maisa is a minhag, which is a chiyuv, but it's not the same chiyuv deraisa of nosin titin.
If you give me maisa money, that is giving tzedakah, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it doesn't go the other way around. Just because you're giving tzedakah doesn't mean that you've given your maisa. Yeah, absolutely. So what about someone who bought a house here in Golders Green? I was speaking to an individual here in Gold Screen. He told me he bought his house here, I think, 55 years ago for £3,000. Right? I asked him if I can buy it off him for that. Really? I said, I'd give him a few thousand pounds more as well. He's selling it now for £725,000, and he's within 30 to strong. What's the din? Does he have to take Maisa from that 3,000 to 725,000? So he's got £722,000 profit. What's the din? Is that considered profit? Or do we say no? There's a certain amount. The housing market goes up, certain price, cost of inflation.
Mortgage.
Yeah, mortgage. Yeah, well, the mortgage, I'm not sure, but that's already a high sell, but... Yeah, going from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So the Rav Moshe over here in Yeridea, in Chilik Beis, Simon Kuf Yud Dalet, he says that which a house or any business or any proposition or any commodity goes up, you don't take the full 72,300 from the 723,000 that has gone up. That's not what you take. What you do is, you have to first make a cheshbon of what the inflation is at that time, whatever the rate of inflation is over the 50 years. And after that, if that 3,000 pounds in today's money is still worth only 500,000 pounds, then you would take the maisa of the difference between 725 and 500,000. And if he's... excuse me. And if he's made a loss, then he won't take any money at all. And if it's the same, then he also won't take any mice at all. It's not because of the actual figure of money, because that is understood. There's always inflation, devaluation of the pound or the dollar, whatever it is that we're talking about. But Rav Moshe goes on and talks about, what about income tax? Someone's earning, right? So most people, I think hopefully, most people pay income tax. So the way the income tax works is everyone's on a different bracket, and we've got 40%, 50%, 60%, 100%, everyone's got on a different, depending on what you're earning. So do you consider the money that you earned before tax or after tax? And which taxes? Can you include national insurance? What about council tax? What about property tax? There's so many taxes. Which taxes can you include? Which taxes can't you include? So Moshe says, of course, the income tax itself, on income tax alone, that's not considered revach. You never took home any money. The Medina came, they took your money away. That's not considered that you've gained. That's not money that you never had it in order to say that, yes, this is a revach, now I need to give it. It's not hitzah. It never wasn't a revach in the first place. Sorry? So the thing's like this. Even on a business, the question is, did you earn, was that money, once you made the cheshbon, right, you've got to make a cheshbon, someone takes all the money for himself, right? What happens? The HMS revenue come and they say, please can we have our money, right? So even if you took the money for yourself, then you have a massive tax bill. It's not, you were just taking money that wasn't rightfully yours, you took it as a loan from the government. So the Etzin says, Rav Moshe, even on that, you wouldn't take the revach, because it's not considered revach. Someone thinks that he's got a revach, but he doesn't. That's still not considered revach. The Medina has that tviya on you from the minute you make the money. You just didn't make that cheshbon yet, but the Medina has the tviya on you. So the shayla is, what happens to someone with regards to income tax, what happens with regards to other taxes? For example, property tax, council tax, a tax that is put per capita head, it doesn't matter how much you earn. So Rav Resh says on that, if there's a tax in the Medina, which it does make a difference who you are, what you are, everyone pays that tax, then that can't be considered taken off your Maisa. Why? Because that's not already shined up whether you're earning or not earning. That's like your electricity bill, right? That's something that every person has to pay. But the Minchas Yitzchak says that on the other hand, this Minchas Yitzchak is in Chiluk Kei Siman Amud Aleph Dalet Tes. He says no. He says that he hears it said that one could taina, that at the end of the day, I never made this money, because whether as soon as I make any money, the government's tevea this from me. The first £5 that I make, the government's tevea from me. Enochrami, everyone pays £5 regardless of your income, but a Maisa, it's money which I'm not allowed to have. So although he agrees with the Moshe in principle, he says someone whose tak is struggling to be able to keep up this minhag and take Maisa, then he could rely on taking first. If he has to take off his Maisa cheshbon, you could take off the taxes, even though it's not linked to the amount of money you make, that could still be considered. That's the first thing one should take off from. There was one or two shaddas which I had when I was in yeshiva, which are very interesting. I used to tutor kids, and there was a very poor person who came to me and he said, listen, if you mind to know with my kid, I know you charge $7.50 for the half hour, this was in America, but could you do it for me for free? So the question is like this. This person who says he poshut can't afford it, are you allowed to say, okay, fine, so I anyway do 10 hours a week, so I'll do this 1 hour for free, and that will be my Maisa on the whole week? Or do you say, no, the Maisa, you never got the money to be able to be, you never had the money, and now you're taking that. That's not money. That's, you want to volunteer first, that's very nice, but that's not considered Maisa. Maril Diskin, in Simchav Dalad, the Madura Basri, he says, the imamish depends. First of all, if you tell the Oni straight out, you say, listen, this, I've got to take Maisa anyway. I usually charge you $7.50. I'm not going to take the $7.50 from you and then give it back to you. And I'm happy to give this to you. He says, that's for sure, that's the Seder, because you've told him it's like a Rebbe you were supposed to have and you've given him. Once in a Maisa, it's very awkward a lot of times to be able to say that to someone. Actually, I was supposed to take this and I'm not going to do it. So you just keep quiet and you must scavenge for yourself. So he says, depends. If after you volunteer or you signed up for this volunteering thing, you think, hey, you know what? I could use this as my Maisa. You finished. It's over. You volunteered. You never had the money. But if at this time when you agree, you're thinking in yourself, ideally you should tell the Ani, but sometimes it's awkward. Kavod HaBrias, it's not so simple. So if you think to yourself at the time, you know what, $7.50, I'm going to not charge you, I'll do this. Otherwise I would have been working for someone else. I'm not going to charge you. Then it's Pesedi and you can take it off your Maisa Cheshbon. And in fact, it could be a very good way of giving tzedakah to people anyway. The other shayla is, what about if you have a loan to someone? There was a bochur in yeshiva when I was there who he wanted to borrow a minimal amount of money, but I knew that he really didn't have the way to pay it back. Is that considered, if you say to him, actually it's okay about the chayv, or you decide in your head that the chayv that he was supposed to pay you is not okay, is that considered maisa? Again, it's not money which you had and then you took away. So it's the same shayla. So Minchas Yitzchak in Chiluk Kei Siman Amud Aleph Dalet Tes says that if you miyash from the chayv, you never had the money to be able to say that that's considered an asinus maisa tzedaka. But if it was something which you hadn't been miyash, and now you actually want to give it to me, say, you know what, it's okay, the seder, I've given you the money, you're supposed to owe it to me, and now I'm not going to, now you don't have to be back. That's the seder gamur. The one thing that I will mention before we finish is that the Rishon says, on Maisa, more than anything else, that you can test the Rabbeinu Shleilim with this. And I have to say, I just want to show you this Maisa, personal story that happened to me. When I was in Psaic, in New Jersey, in Yeshiva there, so as I mentioned, we were earning money because 7 to 7:30 we tutored kids from the school. So a friend of mine, the going rate was $7.50. A friend of mine said, I said to him, you're going to take Maisa. He says, he'll take 10%. He can't afford to give more than that. So he was $6.75. I said, listen, I'm going to take 20%. Because there's a Vilna Gaon that says that the bracha of Asa V'shul Shetis Asher is on 20%. I said, I'm going to take 20%. Tifchaneinu Abazois, let's see what happens. The Maisa, about 3 weeks later, I said to him, let's see where we're holding 6 months' time. About 3-4 weeks later, the Manal of Yeshiva came to me. So it was $7.50 for half an hour, which is $15 an hour. And he said that he's got, and I was taking from that $7.50, 20%, right? So I was taking $1.50. So I was only ending off at $6 for the half hour. The Manal of Yeshiva said, he's got a boy, he's a little bit more difficult, but they need a certain type of personality. And it's a very wealthy family. They're willing to pay $25. For the hour, which was $12.50. So even after I took the cheshbon, so I said yes, took it, made a cheshbon, even if I was, after I was taking the Maisa, I was still with $10, or 10%, and he was with his $6.75. But the story doesn't end there. More kids came after that, and they heard that I was learning with this kid, and they said, listen, we'll do it. I said, listen, I'm really full, you know, so that offered me $30 an hour. And by 6 months later, by the Pesach, I was earning $150 a week, when he taking off 20%, so I was ended up with $120, and he was still on his $37.50. So the Bereshit says to Chanan Yavazoi, so at the end of the day, the whole idea of Maisa is to realize that we're not in control of what comes in or what goes out. At the end of the day, the Bereshit is in control, and if we give to the right causes, we'll get it right.